to the needy. It's funny, I think about some of those rich people. You know, like I said, the pastors, that's like, you don't even know what a pastor is because they make the six-figure salary. They're very wealthy men. Tell a pastor by the kind of suit he wears. That's a pastor. Oh, look at that. Let him that stole steal no more. They steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Saying, peace. And there is no peace. I guess the words of the prophet come to me as I think on this generation. Yeah, thieves, end it. You know, just like adultery, you know, there's spiritual adultery. There's spiritual theft. You know, from all these things, anger. How do you stop being angry? Because you just have something bubble up within you that says, I'm angry. I know, because it's something that is like, it's a very common sin for me. It's very in me. I feel frustration acutely, and it gets my blood boiling. It can. You know, I think I've changed a lot. My wife would attest to that, especially since I got the Holy Spirit. But I don't think I've attained the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in regard to anger. And the thing is, again, these things cannot be obtained by my saying, I'm going to do it. Though it is admirable to say that. I mean, because the point is, we don't just give ourselves over to Satan, okay? The law is there as a guide, and to some degree, I need to, if I haven't received from God the promise, there's nothing evil about walking as best you can, okay? But knowing that when you do obtain, that God is the one who gives it. That righteousness comes from him. So in a sense, I've gotta strive along. You know? I've gotta strive against sin. But ultimately, the ability to overcome comes from him. Otherwise, I'll never overcome. And the thing is, he is going to get credit for it. If he wanted us to, you know, then we could earn our way to heaven. If it was possible for us to actually, you know, look at you won, you've got it. And I don't usually use the term into heaven. But it's so common to our culture that when I talk about inherit eternal life, I have to artificially remember to say that because it's always, oh, go to heaven, go to heaven, go to heaven. You want to go to heaven? You want to go to hell? You want to go to heaven? Hell, heaven, hell, heaven, hell. But the truth is, we're all going to hell. We're not all going to inherit eternal life. And if you don't understand what I mean by that, you need to study the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. You know, we don't want to be, the word corrupt is rotten. You know, worthless. Comes from the root that means to something putrid, putrefied. You know? And that that goes from foul language, you know, filthy talk. Right? And I know that, you know, you get around certain kinds of people and they talk a certain way. Right, it's very tempting. You know, there's a sort of a spirit about people, and it's like, and you're just kind of drawn into it. They say F, I should say F too. Make them know, yeah, he's one of us. Say F this, F that. And I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid to say a word. I just don't use them. I'm not going to like sit here and prove it, but I can say any word. It's just a word, right? But it's the communication, the logos, you know, the word as it goes forth in a meaningful way. That is important. How we, because it's part of what defines us to other people. You know, Jesus Christ is the Word, right? To be the measure of the stature, the fullness of Him, you have to be as pure as His Word. So everything down to the words we speak, as James says, you know, the tongue is an unruly member. It is a great evil. It is set on fire of hell. Let no corrupt communication, you know, if you're able to bridle the tongue, he says you can bridle the whole body. So I pray, God, give me strength to bridle my tongue in all my communications. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. You've got to minister grace to people. You want to speak the truth to your neighbor, let's minister grace. Why, you know, right there, if you call yourself a Christian and you're using that kind of communication, you're giving the lie to the idea that Christ is being formed in you. I'm just like you. I'm just one of the boys. It's not easy to stick out because people are going to notice. Oh, he's different. You know, we have to learn by the Spirit to delight in that, and to know and rejoice and know that it's because, you know, the world hated me. You know, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. You know, it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So from John, Gospel of John, chapter 15. The world has to hate us, okay? There's no way we can be friends with the world. And that doesn't mean you cannot, you know, you have to be a absolute terror to all your neighbors and so on and so forth, as far as, you know, that you make them hate you for things other than, let's say, following Christ. You know, like it says, speak to man, every man, the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I think of, you know, you think about, Jesus was asked at one time, who is my neighbor? Right? And then he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? What we call the Good Samaritan. And the interesting thing about that parable, it says, now who was the neighbor to the man who was, you know,